Hello, and welcome to Revolutionize Your Love Life. Do you want to know more about love relationships, what makes them work, how to create the one of your best dreams? Do you want to be in a really healthy, juicy love relationship? In these podcasts, we will give ideas and practical advice to light your way. Whether you're looking for a love partner, already in a relationship you wish could be better, or leaving one that has run its course, there will be something to inspire, empower, and support you. Revolutionize Your Love Life is a fortnightly podcast where you will access the knowledge and wisdom of love experts and relationship coaches from across the world to help you find true fulfillment in love. I am your host, Heather Garbutt. Welcome. Hello, everybody. And here we all are. It's love in the time of coronavirus. So it's Tuesday, the 31st of March, and sending love to all of you who are listening to this in a lockdown situation. I'm really pleased to have Kay Newton talking with me today. She is a wonderful woman and a very good friend. She's the founder of Midlife Strategies, an award-winning international speaker and enthusiastic author. She's an acknowledged expert, guiding women to find their mojo through that midlife squeeze. Kay's thousands of clients over the past 15 years love her straight talking. She's got a no-nonsense, practical, holistic style, which helps to simplify the second stage of life. In 2015, after a 30-year luxury Spanish lifestyle, Kay and her husband decided to have a no-nest. The couple moved to a two-roomed tin roof house near a pristine beach in Zanzibar, Tanzania. And Kay's books include The Art of Midlife Stress Busting, 7 Steps to Declutter Your Mind Without Pills or Potions, How to Clean Your Home Organically, De-Stress Your Surroundings, Tips and Tricks for Stress-Free Downsizing, A Step-by-Step Guide to Moving On. She's co-author of the 6 Kindle books in the Quick Fix series and a contributing author to Hot Women Rock and A Journey of Riches. Today, Kay lives a simple life next to a beach in Mallorca in Spain. And you can find her on www.kaynewton.com. She's an absolute star and I can heartily recommend her. So Kay, tell us a little bit about yourself and how a Yorkshire lass like you ended up living in Mallorca in Spain.
Hi, Heather. Thank you for having me. It's really nice to be here. Seems so many years ago. Well, it was actually. It was about 35 years ago that I actually ended up here in Mallorca, Spain. And I just happened to be working in mother care. I used to tell everybody the story that I was a baby bouncer. And I used to work there. I hated it. Retail. I was a retail trainee manager. And my parents had a very small boat in Hull Marina. And I used to go and eat my sandwiches at lunchtime on the boat, just to get away from work and away from the boss who used to bully me terribly. And one day this amazing big boat, well, big for Hull Marina, came in and I asked the lock keeper where the boat was going at and found it was going to Mallorca. Found out that the crew and the owner would be in the local pub that night. So finished work, went to the pub and said, did they need crew? I have a yacht master's and desperately looking for something new to do. And within a week, I jacked in my flat, taken all my stuff back to my parents and jumped on this boat with 3 very strange men. And it took us 3 weeks to get to Mallorca. And I could definitely write a book about that story, including being rescued by the lowest off lifeboat, drug running it off Gibraltar, you name it, it happened to me. And we arrived in Mallorca on Friday the 13th of June in an absolute downpour of rain. And I've never swum back. I'm still here.
Wow. God, what a story. Oh, I love that. I can see that you wouldn't fit into trainee manager. You've got too much spirit and innovation. You probably got quite an I don't belong early message, you know, because you wouldn't fit in the box.
I think the hardest thing for me was the fact that as you got higher up the rank, you were supposed to wear high heels. And I'm definitely a flat shoe lady. So it didn't suit me at all. I've never sort of worked a 9-to-5 job ever since then.
Yeah. You've got the feet on the ground, the real groundedness of a, an adventurous woman, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely. That's me, yeah.
So tell me how you met your husband.
Well, that's another strange story, isn't it? So I moved from my first boat I got offered a job on the boat next door, literally. And I was very fortunate to be there when the owner sold his business. And part of that was to celebrate by taking the boat that I was working on to Monaco for the Grand Prix, which was really nice. A lot of work for me. We were cooking for nearly 50 people. So although it sounds really good, it was also really hard work. We came back from that. He decided to buy 3 properties here in Mallorca. And the first thing that needed doing, which I got asked to be in charge of, was the snagging list. You know, all those little things that are not right when the builders are finished, like the doors that don't shut. And I had to deal with a project management company, rang them up and said, my boss is really very happy about the corner bath in one of the bedrooms. And can we do something about it? He wants it removing. And so this young project manager came along and had a look at the bath. And he said, I can polish out the scratches for you. And I said, well, the boss really wants it removed. And he said, well, if I polish them out and he doesn't know and I take you to dinner, is that a deal? So that was 28 years, well, 30 years ago now. So, yeah.
Mm, how lovely. That's too adventurous. So, and you've been married how long?
We've been married 28 years.
28 years. So what we really want to explore today is how you make a marriage last.
This is going to be really good fun because my husband's sat on the sofa. So when you hear all the guffawing in the background, you'll know why.
I love him. Well, if he wants to put in a twopenner, then he's very welcome. So what made the two of you choose Mallorca to be your home to start with? Let's go there first.
Yeah, so Mallorca became home because being from the UK, I'd made a decision. I think that life here in Spain was much nicer than Yorkshire. Although I do like it, and you know, I love Yorkshire, just the excitement of being here. So for me, there was no wanting to go back to the rain. And my husband, he'd come from South Africa. And you've been working in the UK for a little while and then got offered a job in Mallorca as well. So we compromised. It was a compromise decision. We didn't want to go to Cape Town. We didn't want to come to Yorkshire. So we decided that we'd make Mallorca our home. And we've done that.
How lovely. And that, yes, again, so your initial work together was to create a we feeling rather than an I want, no, I want. It's what do we want? What's best for us?
Yeah, and I think that's always been part of a real good strength of our relationship. You know, we work as a team and we don't have too much of a problem with the we and the I. We are able to have our own space and we're happy to do our own things. And we also complement each other, I think, really quite well.
Mm. Tell me a bit about how you see your compliments, how you're complementary.
Yeah, I think James is very patient with me. You know, he's saying things on the corner here. He's saying, I can walk out of the room if you want, so you're not embarrassed. So, no, you know, he's very patient with me. He's very kind, very understanding, very easygoing. And I tend to be a little bit more, especially when the kids were younger, a little bit more stressed, a little bit more, you know, and he'd be the one who would, you know, calm the situation down. Very rarely has he lost his temper in all the years I've known him. And very rarely have we had an argument, you know, discussions, yes, but a serious argument, not really. It's not something that he does. He just won't go there. Mm. So I feel very blessed and very balanced for that, in that, you know, he respects women tremendously and sees them as an equal, not as a, you know, any difference, which is really, really nice.
That's brilliant. So you must have learned really quite from the start how to manage conflict between you, by the sounds.
Yeah, and conflict's a really funny word, isn't it? Because I don't think we've really had conflict and really had to deal with conflict. There's been issues and there's been times, you know, when I think both of us could have thrown each other out the window sort of thing, but not to the effect of wanting to take it to more than just a feeling. Being able to resolve and solve our issues.
Yeah. So there's never been times when you thought of ending the relationship?
Yeah, it's probably a couple of times when, it's probably come close. So, I'm laughing about it now. You know, for example, when my second child was born, all the events that led to that, you know, I felt very sort of frustrated and cross and angry. Women are not very good at forgetting either, are we? We tend to be a bit like an elephant, that we hold on to all these things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the story is there. And then we had a time when the kids were very young, financial issues, being both self-employed, trying to build we chose that we'd take on a huge project and bought ourselves a farmhouse in the centre of the island, which needed complete renovation. So we were renovating a house, running businesses and having kids at the same time. We had two boys. So it was extremely stressful. And then, of course, the economic downturn, and that became even more stressful. And there was a time when James couldn't cope, and, you know, he did suffer from depression, and that was really, really tough.
Yeah. So for me, it sounds like the stresses came from outside your relationship, not from within.
Yeah.
You know, through life events.
Yes. Life events. And I think that's true. Life events in our case have been, you know, the hardships and just little things like, it was a big deal at the time, but in 2015, my husband got a job in Zanzibar building a 5-star hotel, which was another great adventure. And just before that adventure happened, we decided to put the house on the market. And I ended up having to deal with all the fallout from the paperwork and the issues with the sale of the house because he wasn't here. And that was hard because it was his baby, really. He's the project manager, you know, he's the constructor. So that was very stressful and took its toll. But we've come out the other end, as we tend to do, so that's good.
So what do you think it is about you? You've gone through massive things. You know, if you click up the stress points from my psychotherapist hat, having children is pretty big. Financial stress is really big. And I'm sure, you know, people being strapped into their homes unwillingly at the moment, with both financial and children stress. And then additionally, you're selling a house on your own that's been, it sounds like up until that point, your life's work in a way.
Yeah.
So that's huge, and big attachments to all of those. So what is it, do you think, about the two of you that helped you to weather those storms?
I don't know. There's a calm and a balance here, which is interesting. So I can remember other stresses, for example, living in Spain and having my parents who were ill and constantly juggling, dashing back to the UK to resolve issues with my dad and my mum and the kids, and James being so supportive and saying, go, just go, you know, not, we can't do it. We've always found a way of doing it. And yes, it's not been easy at times. It's like now we're all weathering a storm. We don't know what the outcome is going to be. So there's no point worrying about the outcome. It's about weathering the storm right now, this minute, in this moment in time. And I think that's a lesson that, you know, we've sort of come to learn along the way. And it makes such a perfect book afterwards, doesn't it? You've got some really nice stories to tell at the pub.
I'm really hearing that sort of standing together.
Yes.
Working out what's really needed next.
Yeah.
How to support each other best.
Yeah, and it's sort of like in a way, it's an innate knowing. It's not even something that you're aware of. It's just something that, you know, we just tend to do.
Do you think James would mind if you told us about his bouts of depression and how you coped with that?
No, I don't think he'd mind at all. It was interesting for me because what happened was I wasn't coping very well. And I turned to writing a blog. So I wrote my own blog at the time. I think it was on WordPress in those days, the free WordPress. And it was called Wife in Midlife Crisis. And that was my way of coping with what we were going through. So I would write weird and wacky stories about things that were happening in my life. It's not there any longer. And I've still got some of the stories, you know, like the dog food diet story and some of the really wacky things that, you know, you do in those times. I think for James, it was a very dark time. You know, he couldn't see the wood for the trees, and it was a patience game. And for me, it was very frustrating because I couldn't feel it. I didn't know what he was going through because I wasn't depressed. And that was also frustrating. And a lot of people don't talk about that. We often quite focus on the person who's going through the issues, but we also don't support and help the people who are not going through it and find it frustrating because they don't understand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that distance that can get created at those times because there isn't the understanding.
Yeah.
And sometimes the other person can't articulate to help you understand because they're so sunk. Mm.
Yeah.
I also think there's something that happens in midlife for men that actually, you know, we as women could do with some tuition on, because we go through our menopause and, you know, my goodness me, that's a ride in itself. But I think men in later life really take stock, particularly, you know, if they've been doing one thing for quite a long time and they feel like they've reached their pinnacle. And then at that point, they sort of think, is this really what I want to be doing for the rest of my life? Same for women, actually. I think, you know, is this really what I want to be doing? What is it that I need to contribute to the world, or that I need to let myself have, that it's got set aside?
Yeah, and I think probably for James, I think it was the frustration that for him, what all he wanted to do was really support his family. That was his big goal in life and his big dream. You know, he didn't have or didn't want any of those really big change in the world goals, standing on stage or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. All he wanted to do was provide the best he could for us, myself and the two boys and, you know, parents. And having that, you know, rug pulled from underneath you because of financial unexpected turn in the market and construction not working the way it had been. And that was the hardest.
Yeah, so it really attacked his sense of himself as a man and a provider.
Mm. Yeah.
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 Oh, good on you, James, for coming through that. That's no small thing. And good on you, Kay, for really standing with him and supporting him through that. Must have been a lot of plates to juggle for you.
Yeah, and you sometimes wonder how you do it, but you do it, don't you? And I think there's huge gratitude because at the end of the day, it was big, but it wasn't huge. When you think of what other people go through and you see some of the stories of other people, we have been so fortunate and so lucky.
Mm.
You know, and we say that every day when we get up now, you know, here we are locked in our cocoon and, you know, we can't do things as we have been doing. But we're so grateful that we're here and we're together and, you know, we're safe and so many people aren't. So very, very lucky.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're actually locked up with somebody that you care about and cares for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm interested about gratitude because I think that actually holds a big influence in people's relationships. Gratitude and appreciation. It's one of my hobby horses. Is that something for you?
I have a diary. I do because I have a diary on the desk here. It's a fabulous little diary. It's something I bought this year. I've always had a gratitude diary. This one does all sorts of other amazing things as well. But what I really like about it is the fact that you have to spend 5, 10 or 15 minutes a day doing that, just making space first thing in the morning to go, you know, what am I grateful for? And it can be on a, you know, in this circumstance where we are now, I'm just grateful that I've got a safe place to be and we've got food in the fridge and the electricity's on so the food's okay and, you know, those type of things. It doesn't have to be anything dramatic. I think that's really important in today's world. In fact, it's for me, I sometimes think it's probably more important than love because from gratitude comes love.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. I do that practice with my partner. We do, what are we grateful for? What can we pat ourselves on the back for? And what do we appreciate about each other?
Yeah.
Try and do that every day. Three things of each of those categories. And it just does, just makes you see things differently. Because I think, I don't know about you, but I think being born in the north in the British Isles can be a bit of a sort of victim downer, sort of, there's always something bloody wrong. Excuse my language. But, you know, that's that's how we can be in Yorkshire. And so to counteract that, just a gratitude thing. I believe I just saw a house martin.
Amazing.
If I have, they are extremely early, but I have nests that are along the top of my window and it just looked like they do when they go up there. They usually come and have a look and then they go away for about a month, and then they come back and build their nest.
Wow, amazing.
Well, I hope that is true. And I've lost my thread completely now because it took my breath away. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. No, we were just talking about gratitude and how important it is in the day.
Yeah, and appreciation of each other. Mm. And I actually think appreciation of self, you know, and looking for what's calm. Right. Yeah.
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 Yeah, I think that's a really good point for building a relationship. I think you can't do that unless you are grateful for yourself.
Yeah. So if you had, just on the spur of the moment, three tips for getting through this difficult time, being all sort of incarcerated together, what would you say that yours would be?
So definitely we've talked about one. So number one is to be grateful. I think that is so important. And then I think it's a mix. So you need some sort of routine to your day. So for us, the focus is, well, we've just done a huge paint and varnish work job together on our terrace, which needed some TLC. But definitely to focus on the day, so have it in stages. So we don't get out of bed until we've had a cuddle and had a giggle, which starts the day off on a really good mood. And then depending, sometimes James will cook that day, or sometimes I cook a meal, or I'll do it. So we take it in turns in the kitchen. We've made that a bit of a focus and got the old recipe books out and had a good look at what we can create that's different. And actually, just before we came online, we were just saying, James has just said to me, I think I'm going to take you away for the weekend. And I said, that's amazing. We're on lockdown. We can't go anywhere. And he said, actually, we can. And this is just our humour, you know. And we will probably do this as well, by the way. So we're going to go on a holiday and we're going to go and live in the spare bedroom at the weekend.
Ah, change of scene.
Change of scenery.
Yeah.
So there's another little tip, you know. We've got a terrace upstairs. It's been horrible weather today, not Mallorcan weather at all. But we've made an effort to have a change of scenery, i.e. go upstairs and walk around the terrace. Just to get a little bit of fresh air and just have a change of scenery. So, and get away from each other as well, even if it's just to go on the terrace for 5-10 minutes on your own. So that's probably another tip. If you've got the possibility of going and sitting and reading a book or listening to a meditation tape or going for some fresh air in a different room, then that's also really important.
And I know there's a lovely resource that you're offering to women, which is the virtual coffee, if they're in your group. And do you want to share a bit about that, just in case there's anybody who'd like to join in?
So I have a group called My Simple Life and Midlife Strategies. So if you type Midlife Strategies into Facebook, you'll find it. And then every day at the minute at 5 o'clock GMT, we have a virtual coffee. So there's about eight or 11 ladies from all around the world who come and join in. And that's Monday to Friday. And then Saturday, we have one very early in the morning at 8 o'clock my time, which is 7 a.m. GMT. And we do that so that the ladies in New Zealand and Australia can come and join in, because we have members from there. And then Sunday, I take a break completely. There's nothing available on Sunday. But it's interesting to see the conversation. Today, the conversation was a little bit about the ladies kept jumping up and disappearing off to the kitchen. So it was like, so what are you cooking? You know, what's on the menu today? And
lovely.
And another lady's just lost her job and she's dealing with her son at home and education. And so it's a place to, you know, just to be supported in what's going on in your world right now. And to hear somebody else's ideas or hear what's going on for them so you don't feel alone.
I'm very touched by that. You know, I know the heart that you have and I know the kindness and I know the wisdom, and it's such a lovely thing to be offering. So everybody, that's Midlife Strategies, and this is Kay Newton that I'm talking to. A real thank you to you, Kay. If you want to find her, she's on www.kaynewton, that's kaynewton.com. Thank you so much, Kay. And James, wherever you are in the background, thank
I'll
you.
Tell him.
Lots of love. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life.
I'd like to know what has been your biggest takeaway from this conversation. Do take a minute and share this with us and visit us on our Facebook page. You can connect with me personally on my email at heather@heathergarbutt.com. If you can think of someone who will benefit from listening to this podcast, please do share it with them. If you have any feedback on how I can improve it, please do reach out to me, as I'm always keen to learn more. Thank you so much again for listening, and we'll meet again on the next episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life.